First thing in the morning means two things in Robin Anderson's first grade classroom in West Haven. It's time for the Pledge of Allegiance and for breakfast.
What do you like to eat for breakfast most?
Cereal.
Cereal, why?
Because I like the milk.
Anderson says milk is sometimes a little bit of an issue in the classroom.
We have a lot of spilled milk in here at the beginning, but I feel like once they get it, they get it. They know they eat and work at the same time. They don't let it hold them back at all.
Breakfast is served at all the West Haven schools.
Last call for breakfast!
At the high school, students file through the cafeteria line and pick up some cereal, fruit, or French toast. Meg Kingston is the food service director for West Haven Schools. She says they've been offering breakfast for about 6 years.
I think once you start a breakfast program, there are many children that come in that either didn't have breakfast before at all, or they're just really benefiting from it. You can see that, you know, that when they come in, they're hungry, they're eating it. I always think there's a need, and especially here where we have 63% free and reduced. There's no question that there is need.
That means 63% of kids in the West Haven district qualify to get lunch for free or at a reduced price because they come from low-income families. In the last national report in 2012, less than half of students who received free and reduced lunches in Connecticut ate breakfast at school. Dawn Krako is with the advocacy group End Hunger Connecticut, which has been working with school districts to try and get them to offer breakfast.
Students don't necessarily have to eat breakfast at school, but we want to make sure that every student in Connecticut is ready and set up to succeed, and schools don't lose anything by offering breakfast. So why not introduce the program?
Krako says they don't lose anything because the breakfasts are heavily subsidized by the federal government.
If Connecticut served 70% of the low-income students already eating lunch, we'd bring an additional $9 million into the state.
For every free breakfast a school serves, the federal government will reimburse $1.57. Even breakfasts that are paid for are subsidized by the feds.
And if they're at that level of being severe need, so 40% or more of their students are participating in free and reduced price lunch, they get an extra 29 cents per breakfast that they serve.
Those severe need districts are generally taking advantage of the breakfast money. In fact, there's a clear economic divide between the schools where breakfast is offered and where it isn't. The state's larger, lower-income cities generally offer it, and many of the smaller, wealthier communities do not. At Amity Middle School in Bethany, Principal Richard Dellinger says they just don't need to serve breakfast.
I really think if this community said we've identified a need that where kids aren't being prepared by having enough in their bellies for the starting of the day, we would do it.
There are a number of reasons why Dellinger thinks breakfast just wouldn't work for his school.
There's real issues with eating outside the cafeteria for us.
Kids are messy eaters, and he worries crumbs would attract bugs and other critters. That means they'd have to eat in the cafeteria, and the only way they could do that without taking away from classroom time is for kids to get to school earlier.
So to have them get up even before, say, 5:15, 5:30, to make it for a breakfast program when they seem to be getting at home doesn't make sense for us.
He's not alone. In a survey sent out by Governor Daniel Malloy's administration, principals at schools like Fairfield Ward High School and Portland Middle School said there isn't time in the school day for breakfast. Some principals worry about the cost or about having the staff that's necessary. Others, from Madison, Sherman, Middlebury, and other towns, said breakfast wasn't needed for the school's population. Krako of End Hunger Connecticut says there are hungry kids, even in the wealthy towns. Governor Malloy has made expanding the breakfast program a priority. He visited a school in Windsor last fall to talk about the benefits of providing breakfast.
None of us would want to learn on an empty stomach. And none of us would want to be in a classroom where some are learning on an empty stomach and some are learning on a full stomach. This is about every child having a full stomach.
In 2009, Malloy developed the Connecticut Breakfast Expansion Team, made up of state officials and advocacy groups, to encourage schools to participate. John Frassinelli of the State Department of Education is on that team.
So there are ways to sort of walk through the process and say, well, if we do it this way and we set it up this way, you know, you won't have a mess. Kids can clean up. You can do breakfast while announcements are happening, you know, while the teacher's taking attendance. It doesn't have to interrupt instructional time.
The breakfast expansion team is making progress. In just this current school year, they've gotten 75 schools to start serving breakfast. But still, more than 20% of Connecticut schools don't serve breakfast. And it'll be a hard sell with some of them. Back in Ms. Anderson's first grade classroom, the students mostly seem to like their muffins and milk. But even here, there's debate about the program's value.
Do you guys like that they serve breakfast here at school?
Yes.
Why? Because it's healthy for us.
Not that much.
Cereal's not healthy for you.
No. My milk is healthy.
There's simply no arguing with that. Craig LaMolt, WSHU News.